you believe, we shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? Oh, we shall believe the report of the Lord. Oh, His report says I am healed. His report says I am healed. And His report says we'll take a break for a second. We're going to have our kids march, do their missions march today. And I have to apologize. Last Sunday, I got so caught up in what we were singing and having such a good time that I just left them back there. And then probably somebody in the back of them said, come on, go ahead. We love this part of our church. Just this part of the service. I love it. And please pray for the kids as they walk by and give them the offering for our missionaries. Amen. Kids, are you ready? All right. Okay. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Be upon them. God bless and anoint the teachers and Lord the students to hear, God, that your voice, Lord, would be heard in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning to read there at verse 13 is my text today. Amen. 2 Samuel 23, beginning to read there, verse 13 down to 16. This portion of Scripture is so full of messages from God. Amen. This is a terrific, marvelous, a great, a anointed, I don't know how to describe it. Amen. I hope God would anoint me to read it and then expound on it. Praise the Lord. Let me read. 2 Samuel 23, beginning to read at verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Just four verses, but it's powerful. And I'll get to it in a moment. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray even right now. We ask that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would, God, give me anointing, God, to expound on your word. And Lord, open our hearing, Lord, to hear thereof. And Lord, touch our heart, I pray. Lord, would you let your will be accomplished today? Lord, in this service, in this people, in all that is about us and all that's being done, I know, God, that's by you. Lord, that all good things, Lord, come from you. Lord, and I ask you to do good things today here. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Just four verses of Scripture. In this portion of Scripture, there are many messages. But I've come to speak on this topic. The place I want to be, the house of God. Some people think it's a drag to go to church. Not me. Man, I want to go to church. It's my desire to go to church. I want to be in the kingdom of God. I want to go to the house of the Lord. Now these, let me just expound for just a moment on these, on this just four verses of Scripture. First, I could be preaching today, but I'm not, about the three, the chief of the mighty men. You know, that'll preach all in itself. God has anointed some mighty men. Amen. Those men that were with David, they were his strength. It's not that he was a mighty he-man. It was that God was upon him and God gave him favor to lead mighty men. That's a message all in itself. Maybe for another day, but praise the Lord. God needs mighty men that will serve the Lord. Could preach on the place that they were. David was in a hold. He was in a safe place. Even though it was a bad time, you know, they were looking to kill David. And do you know who came to David? Those who were in debt and those who were in trouble, you know, the ruffians of the land, they hung out with David. Amen. But I tell you what, God can use anybody. Amen. God used them in a mighty great way. That's not my message today. Man, I almost want to preach that one. Whew. Man, but that's not my message today. Amen. Could preach about the three mighty men. You know, they had some spectacular deeds all on their own. Each of them were warriors and powerful and mighty and did exploits for God and his kingdom. I could talk about how those mighty men broke through what is called a garrison. A garrison is, you know, in peacetime, it's about 150 men. In wartime, a garrison is about 300 men. In different places, it could be more than that. But needless to say, there was a whole bunch of soldiers in Bethlehem. And these three men went in there and got what they wanted. And then left. Amen. They weren't afraid. It didn't deter them. They had the thought that David wanted a drink of water from that well, and we're going to go get it. Man, I could preach about that. Woo! Man, I could preach about that. Wow, what a good message. But that's not my message today. Tell you, the Bible is full. These four, I could probably preach a dozen messages from these four verses of Scripture. Let me get to my topic. David and his men were holed or in a safe place. They were living in a cave, a fortified place that they could defend easily, that their men were safe in. They were in a hole between Bethlehem and the Philistines. And in that place, he kind of let his guard down. He's got guards out front. He's in a safe place. Everybody around him is for him. They're his helpers. They're trusted. And in that place, David expresses an inward, deep desire. In my imagination, now the Bible doesn't go into this much explanation, but in my imagination, perhaps at this point, David perhaps comes past his lips softly, the phrase. Not as the captain that's in command of these men, no, not as their commander, and not speaking as the future king that he would become. He was not speaking as the king. He was speaking of an inward desire. In my opinion, he had no intention of commanding anybody to do anything. But yet, he was expressing something that is in the inside, and it made its way to the outside. Isn't it amazing how that happens in our life? If the presence of God is way down deep inside of you, parts of what God wants is going to flow out of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. What came out of David wasn't a command. It was something deeper than that. It was his desire. Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem. See, Bethlehem had been a place of safety for the people of God. It was established as a city under God, and it was God's people that dug that well and that used that well and that enjoyed that city. In fact, that desire that was deep within David, I tell you, we need to have a desire deep. I mean, down. I mean, in who we are. Needs to come a desire for God, for the things of God, for the house of God, for the preaching of God. Amen. This came deep from in within David. I may ask, well, what have you been desiring? If your desire is for a new car, guess what? That thing one day is going to be rusty. You're going to have to pay the mechanic to put it back together. Or get your wrenches out yourself and fix that thing. They all break down. In fact, a new home. You know, the American dream. If you own a home, you know like I do, it's a never-ending cycle of doing something on the house. There's going to be something needing repair pretty soon. No, my desire is not for cars. It's not for homes. But I do have a desire for God. I have a desire way down on the deep inside of who I am, way down deep in the center part of who I am, desires God. David desired something of the well at Bethlehem. You see, Bethlehem is a special place. The city of Bethlehem. The meaning of Bethlehem is the house of bread. David desired, he was remembering the time when they freely enjoyed of the house of the Lord, the house of bread in the city of Bethlehem, the moving of God, the free flowing of the rich, cool, refreshing water. He was remembering and longing for that place. Way down deep on the inside of who he was. The house of bread is a special place. Bethlehem to him was a special place. The house of bread is a type, I tell you, of the church. Where the word of God is preached. Where the presence of the Lord God Almighty can be felt. As I was right on this front pew this morning worshiping the Lord, I tell you the presence of God can be felt when you worship Him. If you will worship God, you will feel His presence. That is the place that I want to be. I want to be in the place where I feel God, where I know of His presence, the house of the Lord, the place where truth and power and preaching takes place. Not just because I'm a preacher, but I love anointed preaching. You know, sometimes anointed preaching can, you know, woo, man, that's tough. Sometimes it's you got to kind of swallow hard. But you know what? That's good for us. It's good for us to be challenged by the Word of God. To be challenged by the anointing of the preaching of the Word. It's powerful. In the midst of these extraordinarily and rapidly changing times, that's our world today. God is preparing an extraordinary church through preaching. Through preaching. The church that God is preparing is for a very special purpose. It is a glorious church. Amen. It is a powerful church. A church that is predestinated to fulfill His purpose. A church that refuses to change just for the sake of change. A church unmoved by the compromising religious society in our world. We need a church that has Jesus Christ as the head. Amen. Founded upon the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell will not win this war. God does. Amen. There are three things I'd like to point out to you about the church. Three things I hope you'll understand about the end time apostolic church. One is this. Is God's church. This church doesn't belong to Brother Greeley. No, I'm just fulfilling the office that God put me in for a time. This is God's church. I have to be really, really careful about what I speak of and what I say is of the word. I got to make sure that I'm right, that it's in there, that it's truth, and that it's powerful. Amen. I have to be very careful. It's not my church. It's God's church. Praise the Lord. That's the first thing. The church, number two, that's one point. Second point, the church is a force for good in a world that's bombarded by evil. Whole lot of evil in the world. But God put the church here for good. Amen. Know that. Number three, the thing I'd like to point out, the church that Jesus Christ is head of, the church, the body of Christ in the world today, the church is the most powerful entity on the face of the earth. Amen. The church is more powerful than the media. The church is more powerful than kings and princes. The church is more powerful than any army that has ever assembled themselves on any field. The church is more powerful than the Navy, the military of any nation or of all nations on earth. The church is the most powerful thing. Amen. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. This is a question to ask yourself, okay? I'm not really looking for any hands or anybody shout out anything, okay? This is a question for you to answer to yourself. Do you know who Jesus is? Man, you got to make sure you know the answer to that question for yourself. Amen. Well, he might be the third part of a Trinity. No, that's not who Jesus is. I tell you, Jesus is the Almighty. He is the Lord God, creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, starting there at verse 13, let me read. Consider this. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, the question's been around a long time. It's not original with me. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now, he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the followers of Jesus Christ. He's talking to his helpers. He's talking to his trusted ones. He's talking to his own people. Well, maybe I should talk to this own people, my church family, in this church assembly. Who do you say Jesus is? Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. I kind of like that thing that Brother Dyke said. It's not Jesus only, it's Jesus everything. Amen. It really is. You know, some people don't know who Jesus is. But I pray, I hope to convey, I want to teach and preach and expound and somehow convey who Jesus is. He is the mighty God. Amen. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. To really understand who Jesus is a revelation by God. God lets us understand who he is. God gives us revelation to know himself. Woo, man, that's great stuff. I've been around it a long time, and I'm still excited about who Jesus is. Amen. I don't ever want to get unexcited about who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. I say unto thee that thou art Peter upon this rock. This rock is the revelation of who Jesus is. Thou art the Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The man with the keys to the kingdom preached to the New Testament people in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And the New Testament church was born. He preached that verse of scripture, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the message. That's who Jesus is. Of all the tools that God made available to the church, no weapon is more powerful in spiritual warfare than the weapon of prayer. I feel like I'm ringing the bell again. I taught on prayer on Wednesday night. But you know what? I got to say it. We have to pray. Amen. We got to know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. No weapon, nothing is more powerful in our midst than prayer. A praying church is a powerful church. Amen. No stronghold can withstand the onslaught of prayer. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's time to quit talking about what's wrong with the church and start talking about what's right with the church. Amen. The local church, this local assembly, is stronger today than at any time in this church's history. Amen. I'm pleased to say the state of the church is good. Amen. God is working in the church. Amen. The end time church that we are part of, it's not exclusive only to this church, but this church is a part of the end time church. We are a part of the bride of Christ. And the end time church has begun the greater, is in, it's already started the greatest revival ever in the history of man. Hallelujah. greater than the acts that were done in the Bible. More people are receiving the Holy Ghost today than were ever recorded in the Bible. More people are receiving miracles today than was ever recorded in writings in the Bible. It's a great time for the church. At no time in history has the church ever given, has the church given as much to world and North American missions as this church is, as the church is giving today. You know, when we started the children's march and given the missions, our missions offerings more than tripled. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to be a part of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. It blesses you. It blesses our kids. It teaches our kids to give to the work of the Lord. And it blesses what is given. We give to other places to do God's work all over the place, the world. Whew. No era has ever enjoyed the measure of growth and revival that the United Pentecostal Church is presently enjoying. The church is growing. Amen. And how is God doing all of this? Preaching. We have to have preaching. This is not a club. It's a church. You come to church to hear preaching. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. After that, in the wisdom of God, God knows what he's doing. God's doing what he does on purpose. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know, there's a lot of really smart people in the world. But unless you get the Holy Ghost and know God, you are not wise. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Someone say, preaching. Preaching is powerful. Preaching is of God. Preaching is what God wants in the church. God chose preaching. Why? Preaching is depression's defeat. You won't be depressed when you praise and worship God. Depression leaves if you'll worship the Lord. Anxiety's adversary. Amen. Frustration's funeral. Faith's food. Doubt's demise. Fear's failure. Preaching is disappointment's decline. A lot of people disappointed in our world. But if you'll turn to God and trust him, it won't decline. It will get better. Trust God. Serve him. Be faithful. And God will show you things will get better. Preaching is sin's greatest foe. The sinner's best friend is preaching. Preaching is the saint's delight. Amen. When you are in trouble, when you really need help, the place I want to be is in the house of God to hear the preaching. Praise the Lord. David said, "Oh, that I had a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem." It was an inner desire that passed his lips that expressed an inner desire. What do you really desire? What's on the inside of you? Do you desire the things of God? Do you desire to hear the preaching? Do you want to go to church? And I'm preaching to the people that are in the church, okay? But you know what? You need to hear this. Amen. It's powerful. It will help you if you'll hear it. Psalm 122, verse number 1. David declared, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to go to church. It's not, you don't have to make me go. I want to go. What's on the inside? I want to hear the preaching. Now, don't take for granted what happens in the house of the Lord. Don't take it for granted. Worship really does bring the presence of the Lord. Amen. The more we worship Him, the more we change. God doesn't change. God is the same all the time. God is already, God was here before you got here. Because God is every place all the time, right? God doesn't change. But when we worship Him, it changes our sensitivity to God. I become more sensitive to feel His presence. I become more sensitive to hear His voice. I become more sensitive to know His will. Praises. Psalm 22, verse number 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God is holy. And God inhabits the praises. This verse of scripture teaches us that God literally inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise God, the reason why we feel, as we praise, we feel more of His presence. We become more sensitive to His leading. It changes us to be like Him. It helps us to know His will. God inhabits or lives in those praises. Praise the Lord. That means that God dwells where praise is. Amen. Strength comes to us when we praise God. Amen. Why don't somebody, I see one hand waving back there. Why don't we get another one or another two or three? Somebody praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Strength comes when we praise God. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song will I praise Him. I want to praise the Lord. Nobody's got to twist my arm. Nobody's got to make me lift my voice. No one's going to make me lift my hands. I want to willingly praise the Lord. And I hope you will too. It'll help you. It'll bless you if you'll praise the Lord. Give your praise to Jesus. Praise God. You know, it's possible that you could sit through a whole service and not lift your hands. Perhaps not even lift your voice. It's possible. I wouldn't advise it. But it's possible. But I guarantee you, it is absolute, positively sure that if you will praise the Lord, Jesus Christ. I'm not just talking about hearsay, somebody else or something else. You know, there's some people that would say, well, anything can be, you know, a higher spirit. No, get up, forget it, get off all that garbage. It's junk. It's Jesus that we need to worship. It's Jesus that we need to pray to. It's Jesus that we need to praise. When you praise Jesus, you will feel his presence. Amen. It's not a maybe or might or sometimes. It's all the time. Amen. Maybe it's, I guess it's possible, maybe someone here has been having a hard time, and you maybe you're thinking, preacher, you don't know how I feel. Well, I've had lots of hard days. You know, when you lived into your 60s, you've had hard days. You can't go through this life without hard days. You can't go through this life without stuff happening. You don't know how I feel, preacher. You don't know. You don't understand what I've been going through. Well, maybe right now is a hard time. But when you are at your lowest, that's a really good time to be picked up by God. When you can't carry yourself, it's a good time to just let God take over. It's a good time to lift up your voice and lift up your hands. And, you know, perhaps, you know, I've heard that, you know, when you put your hands up, that's a sign of surrender. Okay, God, I just give up. You take control. God, you do what you got to do. God, but I love you. Help me, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 11. If I could have our musicians to gather. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. This is my last portion of scripture. Just a little reading, a couple comments, and I'm going to wrap this up. Jeremiah 33, 11. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, that's Jesus. The voice of the bride, that's the church. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord. Someone say, praise the Lord. Someone also say, praise the Lord. How about one more time say, praise the Lord. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the God is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall, let me get, this is a special part right here. I've got this highlighted in my notes. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. You know, if I've come with anticipation, with desire and with willingness, and I've come to praise the Lord and I magnify God and I worship him, guaranteed I'm going to feel the presence of the Lord. But what this portion of scripture is saying, those that don't feel so good, those that maybe have had a loss, or those that have had a burden, or those that have been wounded, or those that are hurting, or those that are weakened, or those that are trodden down, perhaps. Right. Everybody didn't come to church just like me, possibly. But if you're the person that's down low. For you to praise the Lord is a sacrifice. If you've been really hurt by someone, and you lift up your hands and you praise the Lord, you magnify God, that is a sacrifice of praise. That is the point that I'm trying to get to today. Every one of us, whether if you've come in low or you've come in high or you're somewhere in between, but every one of us can praise the Lord. All of us can magnify God. All of us can be strengthened by Jesus. And them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Now get this. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. God said, right here in the Word, I just read it. No matter what you think you've lost, no matter what this world may have taken from you, perhaps there's problems in your family, perhaps, you know, things went awry and things got bad, maybe you lost it all. Maybe you don't know how to get it back. Maybe you don't know how to gain what you lost. I invite you today to give a sacrifice of praise unto God. And He can begin today to restore you. Amen. To make you whole. Amen. God can restore what you've lost if you will praise the Lord. He has promised to restore you from all that the world may have taken from you. God can restore your life. Would you stand with me? Just sitting back in worship service. I'll tell you what, this is a church that knows how to pray. This is a church where preaching takes place. You're going to hear truth in this church. You're going to hear the Word of God in this church. And I hope you'll praise the Lord in this church. Sitting through a worship service in this church would be like starving to death in a fully stocked kitchen. I tell you, God has meat that you know not of. The refrigerator is full of good stuff from God. The cupboards are stacked with provision from God. There's no lack of God's power and glory and majesty and greatness. There's no lack of God's holiness or glory or wonder. God can do it today in this church. God can do it in your life. I invite you. I'd like to open this altar. I'd like to ask you to come. And would you pray? Would you magnify God? Would you worship Him? Would you worship the Lord? Jesus. There's some today that will come and give a sacrifice of praise. Even if you don't feel good, come and praise the Lord. Even if your flesh doesn't want to, come and praise the Lord. Magnify Him with me. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Let's magnify God. Worship. Praise. Give glory to Jesus.
Oh Lord Almighty, my soul longs and even faints. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing? How I can only imagine when I take heart and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do, yes, is forever. Can only imagine, Lord, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in love you be still? Will I stand in your presence until my knees will I fall? Will I sing
with the voice of praise.
Shout out to God with the voice of triumph.
We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
There is one day. There is one day. There is one day. There's a thousand elsewhere.
Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I magnify you. I worship you. I praise you. Jesus, glory, glory, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, there is one thing that I had failed to mention. Our speaker next Sunday, Brother Warren Tryon, he has officially retired from being pastor in New Britain, Connecticut. He's now been promoted to bishop. It's just
hallelujah.
I tell you what, he is a highly respected man of God. Amen. Next week, Brother Bishop Warren Tryon will be here with us. Amen. A special treat. I hope you'll come. Bring someone with you. God is going to say something good. Something good is going to happen right here in this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today, right now, give us 5 or 10 minutes, whatever, a few minutes to transition. The kids will be coming out. Those that want to go to the pastor's lunch, especially those that, if you're new to our church and you don't know my history or the history of this church, or it's not clear what it is, that the vision of where we are and where we're going, that's what I'm going to talk about. So it's for you, this pastor's lunch, in just a few moments. I invite you to come. Anybody who wants to is welcome to. in just a few moments in the fellowship hall. Would you join me as we dismiss in the name of Jesus? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we give you praise. We worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the preaching today, Lord. Thank you for what the word of God has to say to us, Lord, that we, Lord, shall be able to follow you, please you, magnify and praise your name, Jesus. Lord, for you are worthy. Thank you for it all. Keep us, Lord, and draw us back again into you. Thank you for your favor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.